Okay, we are back again for our third session of the V'Elzech series. V'Elzech, of course, has been a wonderful series we've done. We've covered the Sephardic approaches, Rav Ovadia Yosef, on how to approach Elul, and we've developed this wonderful, incredible idea that when one approaches Elul in the mindset of Rav Ovadia, one's job is to go ahead and bring everyone together in the process, and using halacha and hashkafa minhag of this time of year, we develop that mindset and that focus that a person might have when a person approaches Elul in a Rav Ovadia approach. Last week, we also talked about the approach of the Briskers and we traced it all the way back to Valashin, to Rav Chaim Valashin, who sits atop the Brisker tree. And we discovered the idea of Pachad and the understanding that whether one goes down the Soloveitchik family in Yerushalayim, through the children and descendants of Rav Elvel Soloveitchik, we used Rav David, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, as an example, or whether one follows his older brother, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, and his son, the Rav Zatzal, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. We came to a similar idea that was developed by both of them, which is the understanding of this sense of pachad, this sense of fear, and the fact that all other pachadim, all other fears, are secondary to the fear of Yerushalayim, and that's the avoda of Elul from a perspective of a brisker, and hence the slichos really don't follow regular structures, said Rav Soloveitchik. They are basically a yell. They're an opportunity to scream. And so today I want to talk a little bit on the perspective of the Balei HaMusar. Now, to talk about the Musar movement and to develop it and say this is one solid all-around approach of Musar to Elul, I think is a little bit too much. I think it would be a tremendous amount of miscommunication to offer that understanding. Instead, we're going to pick one personality who was a towering personality in a towering location in life. I refer, of course, to the great Mashgiach Rav Chatzka Levenstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, originally Mashgiach in so many different places, ultimately most identified as the Mashgiach of Mir, and then ultimately the Mashgiach in Ponovich as well, as a replacement to Rav Detzel Zatzal, who was the Mashgiach in Ponovich initially. I know a tremendous Talmud Chacham who had this chus to learn in Ponovich at that period in time. And he describes a very strong difference between the intellectualized das conversations of the Mechtam Elio and the very strong personality of Rav Chatzka Levenstein, and the pointing out that there is a fundamental difference in between their styles. So we're going to really identify and speak a lot about Rav Chatzka's position, but use it as a backdrop to understanding perhaps a different sense of Musar and the Musar approach, which certainly was a very prominent and played an important prominent role in the yeshiva world. So let's first understand a little bit about who this Rav Chatzka Levenstein was. Rav Chatzka Levenstein was born in Warsaw, and his mother died when he was just 5 years old, and his father took a second wife. When he became a bar mitzvah, he all of a sudden was sent out to go ahead and work, and his job was to deliver flowers. And on Friday, while he was at the mikveh, all of the money that he had earned was stolen. For him, this became a very important message. He said, anything that can be lost in a split second is not worth wasting time for. And so he decided he's going to become a Ben Torah, and he moved off and left Warsaw and chose to settle in the different worlds of the yeshivas. The first place that he went to go ahead and develop in the yeshivas was in the Yeshiva Gedola of Lomja, the Lomja Yeshiva. And he remembers what it was like to be in the Lomja Yeshiva, where he was by the Mikdash David, Rav David Tevel. He remembers one Motzei Shabbos before Mariv, Rav David Tevel would give a Musar Shmuz. And those Musar Shmuz and the Motzei Shabbos when he was young really inspired him. And at the end, everybody came back and said Hashiveinu, right? And then they cried out of the understanding of what the Yemei Hadin were going to be placing upon them. And so he learns for 2.5 years in Lomja, and then he decides he's going to go to Radin. And Radin is famous for... That's right, the Chafetz Chaim. So the Rav Chatzka writes in a certain letter He says, when you get to Radin and you see the Chafetz Chaim, he says, just so you could see, just as clear as the sun shines outside, so too, when you're around the Chafetz Chaim, you get a sense of what Amunah is all about. And at that point in time, he spent a tremendous amount of time with the Chafetz Chaim's yeshiva. And then he realized that he had to move on. So he moves into Kelim, and Chafetz Chaim sends his son-in-law, Rav Hirsch Levinson, to try to get him to go back to Radin. But Kelim was such a strong base that they didn't let him live. Rav Tzvi Hirsch Brody, who was the son-in-law of the altar of Kelim, was the Rosh Yeshiva at the time, and he brought him very close. He brings Rav Chaskel close to him. And now Rav Chaskel is learning his third shlav, his third opportunity to be around the Bali Amusa. And in Kelim, they were very, very set and developed certain understandings about truth. And at that point in time, Rav Chaskel has developed three elements: the truth, the emuna, the strength. And so when despite his weak constitution, when it came time to learning, these became the major issues in his life. Now, he himself was a physically very, very weak person. And through his life, it was never assumed that he was going to be able to survive a long period of time. The fact that he did survive and live as long as he did was something absolutely incredible. He basically subsisted on rice. There were very long periods in his life where he would move to the side and cough up blood. So serious was his situation. Long story short, he winds up studying in Mir. And this becomes very fortuitous because when World War I broke out, Mir, the yeshiva of Mir, which was a city in Poland, was exiled to Russia. When the war ended in 1919, the yeshiva came back to Mir. But the mashgiach of the Mir yeshiva at the time, Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz, another fascinating Musar character, so he was still stuck in Lithuania, not able to come back to Poland. The yeshiva was bereft of a mashgiach. And so they decided to turn to Rav Chaskel to ask him to fill in, you know, for Rabbi Yerucham. And Rav Chaskel refused. He said he cannot replace Rabbi Yerucham under any circumstances. But he agreed to take on a position called Mashpia. Today, that's like a very well-known policy that many of the yeshivas have a mashpia on top of a mashgiach today. But back then, it was a means to turn around and make sure that Rabbi Yerucham knew that he had a place to come back to. Rabbi Yerucham came back, and immediately Rav Chaskel takes a seat like he's a regular member of the yeshiva, like he's a regular member of the kollel. And certainly that's the way he proceeds. Later, at some period in time, he winds up in Kletsk by Rav Aaron Cutler as the mashgiach, but he realized that there was nothing that he could add any further, so he went back to Mir. And there he sat, and he's listening to Rabbi Yerucham constantly. And he turns around and he says, look, it doesn't matter. You know, he's not doing what he does for his position. He's doing what he does in order to be Mizakeh es Arabim. And if there is no Zikwe Arabim, if there's no means to take care of the Tzibur, so then he doesn't have to go ahead and do it anymore. And he can just sit and watch the others. At one point, he winds up in the Lamshi Yeshiva in Petach Tikva, which also grew and raised giants. But unfortunately, he was not able to go ahead and be provided for, and so he winds up going back to Mir Yeshiva, especially when Rabbi Yerucham passes away in 1936. So Rav Chaskel is told, you have to come back, you need to be the Mashgiach, and there are 500 Talmidim in Mir learning at that time. 1936, it was fortuitous that Rav Chaskel happens to be there, because when the war breaks out 3 years later, Rav Chaskel is fully entrenched in the process and was there to keep the spirits of the Talmidim up through the time of peril that they went through. He was there to be the guiding light through the time that they had to flee. They fled across Europe and wound up making their way to Shanghai. And through it all, Rav Chaskel is standing up there in the front, serving as a guide from a spiritual perspective, in addition to the great Rosh Yeshiva, Blaise Yehuda Finkel, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, Rav Chaskel is the guide that they all turn to. And during this period in time, they wind up in Shanghai, and Rav Chaskel is very, very focused on the Talmidim's well-being. And he turns to them constantly to keep them upbeat, and to keep them focused, and to keep them working on their ruchnius, even while their gashmius, their physical condition, went down. They started out in an incredible nace, an incredible miracle, where they found a shul that had, for some reason, been built in Shanghai with absolutely no purpose whatsoever. And in that yeshiva, they had exactly the number of seats that they needed in order to take care of the students who had fled across Europe in order to make it into Shanghai. There were two kitchens there. They were able to serve milchiks and fleishiks to all the bachrim. They found a system to be able to get a hold of bread and be able to actually eat. And then a edict came down in 1943 that all refugees would have to be in a ghetto in Shanghai. And it went into effect right before Elul. And of course, the weather in Shanghai was not wonderful. It was extremely hot. Many of the people got sick. And here they were during that period in time, which we'll come back to in a moment. Here they were in Elul and in the Yom Ne'orim, literally unable to get out of bed in many situations. And beyond it, to be able to turn around and actually experience an Elul. Who does show up? Who is able to show? Who serves in the front of the room to continue to show that no matter what the conditions, we are soldiers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here he is. He's Reb Chaskel Levenstein. And he's able to inspire all the way through till the end of the war. When the Mir Yeshiva decides to go ahead and emigrate once again, first they tried in New York. Rav Chaskel couldn't stand the air of New York. He felt it was an air of Tumah. And so he looked for the first opportunity to move from the Tumah of America to Eretz Yisrael. And so here he is, 70 years old, sick, and he goes ahead and packs up and moves to Eretz Yisrael in 1949. By 1954, in addition to going ahead and being in charge of the Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, the Panovich Rav, Rabbi Yosef Shlomo Kahneman, asks him to serve as the Meshgiach Ruchni of the Yeshiva in Panovich, and that's where he took over in September 54. For 20 years, he worked in order to go ahead and raise Talmidim. He makes it through to the period after the Six-Day War in 1967, and he has the opportunity to go ahead and experience a Yerushalayim Havnuya, right? And he has that opportunity to go ahead and live through the life. So you're talking about an individual who went through trials and tribulations, and through it all, he continues to stay focused straight. And so our goal for the rest of this year is to try to figure out, what would Rav Chaskel want us to take away when we're Eluling? And so the first thing I think we need to take from it, from the storyline, is to listen to one of the Talmidim, Rav Bordiansky, who writes in Siach Yitzchak Chagim Usman in Volume 1, he says, Rav Chaskel basically turned around and said, listen, we need to remember what holds us back during the month of Elul. And he says, there's a pasuk in this week's parsha, in the parsha of the Tochacha, Yakcha Hashem bivaron uvishigayon uvishigaon uvisimhon levav. Right? God is going to smite us with blindness and craziness. And he says, uvisimhon levav, what is the fear of the heart? Pirish Rashi otem halev. Rashi explains that the otem halev, there's some sort of membrane that will stuff up the heart. And he wants us to understand halev mechusa b'mechitzatza shel halev. The interpretation, the understanding over here is that the heart is covered by this major membrane. Me'ashiv eliba machsheva sofam. It holds us back from thinking about what's going to happen to us in the end. The Elul Kulo Lev, says Reb Chaskel, through Reb Bordiansky, a person needs to understand that Elul is all about the heart. What do we say right off the bat? Elul is the Rashi Tevos, Ani l'dodi v'dodi li. I am to my beloved is to me. It's all about that loving heart. that is supposed to be there. If you can't feel it because there's this strong membrane overcoming it, that's going to be a timhon levav. And so says Rav Chatzkel, halev nikne behesbonenos. If you want to pierce through the membrane to be able to connect, you have to go ahead and think. Becheshbon adam im nafsho, when a person stops to think to himself, v'la'aruch machashavos lisbonim b'yiras Hashem, he needs to have time to set time to think about Yiras Hashem. B'sivlonos, b'losova v'ayifus, he has to have comfort. Lisbonim v'shuv lisbonim. He says you have to have time to think and think and think. And so the heart comes through contemplation, not through exhaustion. And so therefore, one of the avodos of Elo, one of the jobs that we have, whether we're able to go ahead and do it, or whether we are not able to, the jobs that we have during Elo is to pierce the heart. And the way to pierce the heart, or the membrane covering the heart, so that we can get and uncover the heart, the way to do so is through his bonenos, which means through the head. In fact, Rav Chatzkel goes further to say, when we deal with a physical illness, that he writes in Or Yecheskel, he says, a person needs to understand, when a person has a physical illness, the worst time for the person, the most dangerous time for the person, is before the person realizes that he or she is sick. And why is that? Because if you already have a diagnosis, you know that you're sick, there is still hope that you can find some sort of cure for your illness. But a sick person who doesn't know that he's sick, where does he know to go to find refuah, to go to find health for himself? And he says the same thing is true when it comes to maladies of the soul, for people who are suffering with sicknesses of the soul. If a person doesn't know that he's sick, that's really where it's dangerous. And that's also part of the shigaon ivaron and timon levav. He says that you have to understand, if your heart is not pierced, if that layer, that membrane is covering it up, you are not going to recognize it. And he says, Elul is, if a person walks through Elul thinking it's just like Elul the rest of the year, that is a sickness. We have to make Elul different than the rest of the year. Think about what Rav Chatzkel is saying. Think about that. We have to make a different Elul. And think about what it means when he offered this information when he was in the Shanghai ghetto in 1943, when there was a tremendous amount to be afraid of. And the Mir Bachurim was starving and they couldn't move. And when Rav Chatzkel saw that they had finally a bit of bread and he saw them starving, he says, now, before he allowed them to eat, he stood up on a bench and gave a shmooze to tell them, now it's time to work on your spiritual growth. Now is the period in time. The Elul Zich, this is the time right now to make sure that your focus is correct. Who would have thought that way, given all those conditions? Who puts his head in that way? Rav Chatzkel, because for Rav Chatzkel, you have to go ahead and see Elul up front. And he writes this to one of his Talmidim in the Mechtavim on page 65 of Or Yecheskel. He writes a letter. He says, listen, I thank you for checking in on me. He says, I want you to get all the brachos that you should have a nice long life. And he says, but he says, when a person goes through life with this certain sense of routine, right, and then it's going to be a difficult situation. If you want to develop a different routine, a different hergel, we need to do that. And we need to see Hashem everywhere to change that hergel. He says, HaTikva asher biyad ha'adam liknos, emunos ein makom ukfiros lelimud ha'musari b'chol yom. If you want to acquire that, you need to spend time thinking about it within the context of Musar. V'ani omer al zeh, ki ha'evdol bein elu asher lomdim Musar, leilu asher ein machshivan limud zeh, ki ha'evdol bein or l'choshech. You can see the difference between people who learn Musar and those who don't, as though it's night and day. L'zeh yesh tikva latzeis me'afeila l'or, l'zeh ein tikva. He says, you have to understand, some people have hope for the future because they can see beyond the troubles of their moment. Then think about the troubles of the moment in Shanghai when he's writing these letters, when the Talmidim can't get out of bed because it's so hot and they're so sick. And one makes it finally all the way to the Beis HaMedrash, barely dressed because he's drenched. And he walks into the Beis HaMedrash, and who's sitting there with his kapata on? It's Rav Chatzkel Levenstein. And why is Rav Chatzkel sitting there? Because that's what you do You have a hisbonenus. It's Elul. You belong in the Beis HaMedrash. You belong thinking. You belong in moments of contemplation, whether or not others can make it or not. And so again, Reb Chatzko highlights the importance of putting the thought on top, especially during Elul, as a period in time of growth for a person to go ahead and develop a certain mastery over the situation that he or she is in. In fact, he makes a very fascinating comment about the role of emotions. Remember last week, we were talking about how the Briskers took a certain understanding of Pachad, and we're very happy with it as a Elul concept, because if one develops a certain type of pachad, one will develop a healthier pachad that will carry himself or herself all the way through to the ultimate reason for pachad, namely Yiras Shamayim. Reb Chatzko turns around and he develops a totally different perspective, one that we probably would not have expected from a Baal Musar. He turns around and he says, you have to understand there's a difference between regish and hergish. A regish, an emotion, hergish, haregish bame, he loves, says Reb Chatzko and Or Yecheskel. Emotional reactions happen on their own. Below amo v'yigia, there's no work that goes into them. The Misha Tivo Bekach, when somebody is just an emotional individual, Yisparitz Haregish Mikom Hashem Meragish, the emotions are just going to pop out from whatever he or she experiences. Chizuch Ovas Adam Be'olamo, that's the whole purpose of living, just to have the right emotions? Zomash Hashem Deresh Memcha? It can't make sense, says Reb Chatzko, that you should just be an emotional individual. And that's what you're supposed to work for? You're supposed to work to just have something that happens automatically? He says, Haregish Sosa Koach Yishavadas, just being an emotional person will prevent a person from having a sense of Yishavadas, of mastery and calm in his life. HaMisragish Misnagish HaMislamid, because the person who just reacts emotionally, he conflicts with the person who thinks through stuff. Thought doesn't exist in the mindset of the person who emotes. Says Reb Chatzko, that's the way a person should proceed. How are we supposed to go ahead and proceed in that direction? Regesh, says Reb Chatzko, is automatic. It's not good. Elul brings us the opposite. Elul, Reb Chatzko goes on to say, Elul is about putting your head first. And he says, if you want to understand it, kidei livnos elul amiti, to have a true elul, ahechrech lechadesh ulehischadesh b'marachos shel machshavos. The trick is to start getting involved in your thoughts and to start doing it anew. Ulehachem marchi libo livnos leiv shel elul. You have to be able to build a renewed thought of elul. Elul, he goes on to say, Elul habonei alisorus hativis bovad, Elul hachazak betokef hativi bovad hashamotzi b'lev Yehudi. He says, if it's just a question, if Elul is just based on internal, natural awakening without any work, he says, that doesn't work. Elul b'li avoda atzmis, tzarech limnos as Elul me'amasad ve'ada tipchus. He says, to build an Elul, you need to work on it with your knowledge first, with your head first, to build an Elul from a certain recognition that there is something to build upon. But Elul that's not built with a certain hisbodedus with oneself and tefillah and musar and cheshbon ha-nefesh, but rather just with the news of the day, if you're building Elul off the news, so he says, in such a situation, there is no depth. Elul needs internal inspiration from contemplation, not from external fear. And so he says, where and how are we supposed to go ahead and get that Elul? Where and how are we supposed to get that work done for ourselves? And so here I think Reb Chatzko sends a certain letter, right, and to one of his Talmidim on page 177 of the Mechtavim volume of Or Yecheskel. He makes it a certain understanding. He says, you have to remember, Elul can't just be about something brand new. We're going to see a contrast to that when we talk about the Slonimer approach next week. But Reb Chatzko develops this certain idea that we have two concepts in the process of development. We have an Asur Meira and an Asay Tov. Very often we come to El and we think El is about New Year's resolutions. It's about building and coming closer and taking on more. Rav Chatzko says if you've got a broken wheelbarrow and you just keep adding more and more to it, the wheelbarrow breaks that much faster. And so therefore, a person has a responsibility to think Sur Meira, not just Asay Tov, or really all we're really doing is adding dead weight. So in sum, thus far, the Musar approach of Rav Chatzko is head first. It's not about emotions per se. It's about the development of a new outlook, thinking about who you are, where you stand, and what you're trying to do, and about preparation with whom you're trying to do it. That's where true emotion comes from. That's where an emotion that is intellectually driven happens, and those things stay longer term. Elul is about a Sur Meira, not just an Asay Tov. And here, the great emotional picture of the individual who is Rav Chatzko Levenstein combines with the thoughts as he expressed them to develop a much different perspective on Elul and what it's all about. And Rav Chatzko closes the idea by highlighting the work of Elul. He says, we say L'David Hashem Ori V'Yishim every single day of Elul. And he says that, in other words, after you hear the shofar, right? Lachar zizua v'acharada me'a shofar, right? After the scariness of the shofar, we say l'David Hashem u'madrich usanu l'chavi nezel afikim nechonim. It sort of gets us to grab our emotions and drive them in the right direction. So what is that right direction? That right direction is our understanding that we want to be Beveis Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai. We want the opportunity to go ahead and see HaKadosh Baruch Hu and live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to have that chance to get rid of all of the Chatoyim and Avonos, which create boundaries, and Mechitos, like the one over our hearts, that Ki Shem Afriyim Liskari Ve'Lav Yisbarach Shemo. He says that those things separate us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the opportunity to go ahead, God should give us the ability to find him and find his ways and fix all of our wayward ways. And God shouldn't leave us with all that. That God should cease hiding his face from us. And how does that happen? When we turn around and we push ourselves forward. When we really declare from an intellectual process of thinking who we are, where we want to be, the shofar and the David Hashem Ori all remind us that what ultimately we want out of life is to be Beis Hashem. That's what it's all about. It's a process of thinking and not just emoting. It's a process. Elul is about asking and retracing our steps, correcting the potholes of the past while paving the road of the future. The road that leads us to Beis Hashem, where we'll hopefully always wind up forevermore. Everyone have a wonderful week, and Ksiva Bachasima Tova.